Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to the Jeremiah Speaks production, and we would like to just welcome you all to the podcast for tonight. My name is Jeffrey Parker. I am a member of the Elohim Christian Outreach Center, where our set man is the Apostle Leo Hackett. I come to you tonight to bring a word of encouragement and testimony. I understand testimony is the broadcast on Monday nights, and I just thank Apostle Mercer and Pastor Reed for inviting me to be a part of this program on tonight. My testimony, a brief testimony of myself, is that, well, first of all, I'm 65 years old, and I am legally blind. According to the government, I'm legally blind, and I became this way at the age of 46. I have gone through different surgeries and different things in life, and it sort of humbled my spirit. Or actually, I should say it did humble my spirit to the point that I like to share just a bit of encouragement to people and a little basic warning. As we go to look into the Bible, and because of my visual challenges, I won't be reading scripture, but I will be bringing familiar scripture to you that you all can relate to and can follow along with me. In the Bible, it speaks pretty often of the blind man, and that blind man in more than one of the parables. And one of them that comes to mind is found when the disciples are actually walking with Jesus, and they run across this blind man. And, of course, they put the question to Jesus, testing him, or, you know, just inquisitively they ask him, because back in the biblical days, a lot of times when you had people with infirmities or disabilities, it was because someone had sinned. So the disciples presented the question to him, why this man was blind. I mean, was it something he did or his parents did? And, of course, Jesus responded to him that this one was not because of something that he did or the parents did, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. So as the story goes on, Jesus calls the man, and he brings him to him, and he uses spittle. He reaches on the ground and gets some dirt, and he makes some spittle. He puts it on the guy's eye. And as he puts it on the guy's eye, the guy, he instructs the guy to go and to wash in the pool of Siloam, and the guy does it. And he comes back, and he actually can see. And then people ask, you know, different, you know, what, you know, the reason why, if it was the same guy. And they all recognize him, and, you know, the guy lets them know that, you know, it was because of Jesus. You know, they ask his parents and they ask him, but it all comes back to Jesus. Well, I'm going to give you my testimony of my situation. I, at the age of 46, I lost my vision. And I have had several surgeries in the process, 15 to be exact, and they ranged on both eyes. I've had surgery like cataract removal. I've had surgery to stop bleeding behind the eye. I've had lens replacements on three times. On my left eye, the first eye they tried to save, they performed lens surgery. They had replaced the lens, and it didn't take. So therefore, it left me with one other eye. So they actually took that lens out, and I had no lens in my left eye. My right eye, they did the same procedure, and they gave me an artificial lens, and that lasted for about 12 years. And then I injured my eye again and had to go in for another surgery, and this surgery didn't take as well, but the doctor said it was extreme damage to my eye. That's how come my vision isn't that great. But through it all, I am thankful for what I do have because, you know, to God be the glory, he didn't have to give me anything back. Now, I go with that as a testimony. That's a brief testimony of my condition of my eye right now. But I'll go a little bit even deeper into the story. I am a retired, disabled photographer. Now, to me, that was a sudden change. That was a drastic change, really, to go from seeing to not being able to see. Photography was my livelihood. It was my job. It was the way I made my money, the way I supported my family. And I did lose my vision, and it was because the doctor said advanced diabetes, and damage was done. Even though I wasn't being tested positive for diabetes at that point, they said damage was already done. But, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purposes, because I was at a point in my life where, even though I was a deacon, I had become a deacon back in 1989, and I was a young man, and I guess I really wasn't exactly settled the way I should be. Now, I reflect back on last week. I heard Pastor Reed, he preached on the first commandment, the second commandment, and the tenth commandment. Well, of course, there are 10 commandments, and I reflect back tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about the seventh commandment, which is thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I was looking at, listening to some scripture and what little I could read. And in the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter, between the verses of 27 and 30, it speaks of offenses. And the offenses it speaks of, it says, if your eye offend you, it is better to pluck it out and cast it away than to basically inherit the pits of hell. And then it also speaks about if your hand offends you, if your right hand offends you, it's better to cut it off and go into heaven whole, meaning without, than to spend eternity in hell. Well, I look at that, and we look at that, and some people say, well, did Jesus really mean that figuratively, or was it just an example? Well, it could be either way you look at it, but I look at it in real life because I had my eyesight. And being a photographer, I was doing a lot of things that were an offense to my actual position being a deacon. So often we do these things. We have jobs and then we take positions in the church, but in all reality, our jobs in life are offensive to the church doctrine and the church teachings. Now, I was one, by being a photographer, my motto was to make people smile or to encourage people to smile. We got all kinds of photographers. We got photographers for sports. We got photographers for landscape. We got photographers who like to take pictures of just the beauty of God's holiness, flowers, trees, buildings, whatever. But I was one who liked to see people smile. And my concept was that if I could encourage you to smile behind the lens of my camera, then I was making the world a better place because the world was smiling. I was seeing happiness in there. But I even took it a little bit further. And you get into the position where, Satan will creep in at times and it'll cause you to have, wandering eyes. I was man. That's man's nature. And I'm not saying it was right because it was wrong. But my eyes, I think, in a sense, were offensive to the fact that I was a married man. I had three daughters. I was an officer in the church. But I was chasing that mighty dollar to make money and to have fun. I was using my eyesight to do and to take pictures of any and everything, which was wrong. I'm the first one to admit that. Okay, I look at this, and people have often seemed to, like, want to feel sorry for me because I don't see as well. But, you know, I look at it like this. I lost my vision, all praises be to God, but I have another opportunity. Just from that scripture I was telling you about in the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter, where I had my eye or my eyes really plucked out. Now, what I was doing was offensive to the point of self-destruction, one-way ticket to hell. But now I think, or I look at it as, that I've got another opportunity. God gave me another opportunity to be able to inherit the kingdom of heaven, allowing me to have my eye plucked out. Some people might not see it that way, but that's the way that God has spoken to me and told me that, you know, through me losing my eyes, I saved my soul. Now, the fortunate thing about me versus the person in the Bible, blind people in the Bible, you know, God restored, or Jesus restored their sight. But with me, it was different. I had my sight, and I lost my sight. Now, I can think of several occasions where I really do wish that I still had sight at that time, like in the transitioning of my mom or my wife. On both occasions, I went to the casket, looked in the casket, and I really couldn't see that face. But I've got the memories. I've got what so many other blind people don't have. I've got a vivid imagination of what I used to see. I used to see behind my camera lens. I loved photography. It was a hobby. It was an income. It was a livelihood. It was something I really enjoyed doing, and I actually must say that I got good at it. I got awards behind it. I had my work published in magazines. I've had work published in the newspaper. I've had my work, weddings, portraits, a lot of things. I mean, just my livelihood. That was my livelihood. I actually was one, I think, in my area, one of the best, because with me having my photo lab, my business, I was able to work. So therefore, if it was 15 photographers, wedding photographers in the community who brought me that work for me to develop and print, I was getting the ideas of 15 different photographers. So therefore, my mental stability, or my mental concept, or my mental vision of photography was greater than a lot of people's, because I was exposed to the ideas of 15 different people. I used that, and it was just wonderful. Now, to come to a sudden stop and not be able to see, that was like really, really devastating. But I didn't give up. I have talked to several people, and of course you realize once you talk to people, there are other people who are dealing with the same thing. I'm here tonight to, that was a brief story, you know, a brief testimony of mine, but to encourage you, to let you know that don't give up. You know, God's not through with you yet. Though I might be weak in my physical eyes, God has once again gave me the opportunity and used my spiritual eyes to see things I didn't see. I see now where my prayer life has gotten stronger, to the point where I was able to sit still and to listen from God, to hear the words of God, to hear his confirmation in his word, and to allow me to just sit back and see what God has in store for me. I tell this story also about when I was growing up. I remember going to school and at an early age, and I remember my mom taking me to the doctor, as we all go to get our shots and do eye tests and everything. And I remember back as a child, I remember the doctor saying when I was a little boy, oh, he's a mirror reader. Now, I didn't realize what a mirror reader was. at the time. It was actually into my adult life before I realized what a mirror really was. It means that you're dyslexic. I mean, I can look at something on a wall and it can say 1, 2, 3, 4, and I might see 4, 3, 2, 1. Or I might look at something that's half full, and it's like being optimistic and pessimistic. I see half full, you might see half empty. I mean, half empty. And so I see things a little differently, but it has also opened up my ability to see other things from a different angle. I remember on a job once, I worked as actually I was a material handler, even though my title was welder. And we got putting walls together in a utility trailer, and we had built the walls and put them in there, and we're building the trailers, and we got the schematics in, and the schematics said that everything was wrong, and they were telling us we had to break the weld and take some welds out the walls and redo the walls. And I looked at it, and I said, well, what if we did this? And I just turned the paper upside down, and it worked. I saw things backwards. I saw things in the opposite direction. We no longer had to break the walls. We just had to turn the walls upside down. So God used my ability to see things in a dyslexic way to for the benefit and the good of that particular company. Now, I use I hate to call it a disability. I don't call it blindness. I actually tell everybody that I'm visually challenged because I don't want to claim blindness, because I'm still, what I am claiming is that one day that I will go to my eye doctor. My eye doctor will say, Mr. Parker, we have come up with a new procedure, and we think we can increase your vision even greater. Would you be willing to let us test you or try it on you? And, of course, I'm going to say yeah, because I'm trusting God, because he gave me a portion of my vision back. Others don't get that. A lot of people don't get their blind for life. And I just think I count it as a blessing. I think it's just the joy that I have to be able to see again. You know, until you really lose your vision or some of your one of your main abilities, you really take things for granted. Now, like, for instance, I remember going to the doctor's office and hearing someone say, man, I went outside today and I could see grass. Now, a lot of us really say, okay, grass? You see grass? You know, we all want to cut down our grass. I remember when I was cutting grass, I was willing to almost put gasoline on it to kill the grass, so I didn't have to cut it anymore. But to be able to see a blade of grass, and not too long ago, I was sitting on sitting on the sidewalk, and I reached down and touched the grass beside me. And, you know, I discovered something about grass that I had never realized before. As you pull the blades of grass up, they have like a jagged edge on them. And if you pull them up in one direction, they sort of fold in together like a feather. But if you go down, you know, rub them the other direction, they are actually rough, almost like weapons. And I said, wow, you know, the things we take for granted on a daily basis, you know, the ability to see grass. I look sometimes, I hear an airplane go over, and it almost sounds like, and I know I can't reach out and touch it, but it seems almost that close. And I look up, and I just say, Lord, if I could just see the airplane is flying over. Whether it be daytime or nighttime, to see the landing gear lights, you know, these things that I miss now. But I do thank God that I've got a memory. In my mind, I can still paint a picture of what God has, of his beauty, of his holiness. You know, we serve an awesome God. And even though my vision is weak, I still thank God that I've got the memories. You know, in the Bible, we so often hear scripture and have different verses, the way they bring the message to us. And I remember seeing something else too. And I feel like God revealed this to me, because I've heard, you know, scripture read. I read it myself because I read the Bible through on a couple of occasions. My dad taught me about that. He read the Bible through, I don't know how many times, but he would read his Bible, take his little ink pen and make a mark, and he'd go back to that mark on the next day and read some more. So I have read the Bible through at least a couple times. But I remember reading in the Bible where they say a certain person, their eyes waxed dim. You know, and until I had cataract surgery, I never really thought about your eyes waxing dim. I'm thinking about, you know, okay, you're close to death. You're about ready to die. Your eyes are going to close, and you're not going to open them no more. But God revealed to me that when your eyes wax dim, that you actually had cataracts back in the day. Because I don't know if they had cataract physicians. Luke was a physician. I don't know if they had physicians who could remove cataracts back then. But, of course, they did. They had Dr. Jesus because he could remove cataracts. You know, I still have hope for the future. I still have hope that I'm going to see another day. I mean, on another day. I have different, you know, testimonies, different songs. I have a lot of silent time, quiet time. And, you know, I remember during the times when I first came up with my visual challenges that there were some long nights. Some nights almost seemed like they never ended sometimes, you know, and you sit there and you lay there and you wouldn't know what time it was. And I had this song that I really loved to hear. It really spoke to my spirit. And the song was I Won't Complain. And that song is so powerful because in the midnight hours when you didn't know what time it was, when you were laying there and, you know, you had the TV off, the quiet time, you got time to speak to the Lord and the Lord to speak to you, sometimes you'd have questions, you know, as to why me, you know, why, you know, why at such a young age, at 46, where it would be the prime of a lot of people's life, I lost my vision. But to God be the glory, I lost my vision to gain life. I lost the life of my eyes, but I gained my life back again. I thank God for that. You know, I was speaking with Pastor Reed, and this, with me being on here tonight, it was by chance, but it was appointed from the very beginning of time that the person who was supposed to have that testimony tonight could not make it. I don't know why, but Pastor Reed, he got in contact with me, and we had spoke on several occasions. As a matter of fact, I think very highly of the man of God. He is a mentor for my youngest daughter. He's encouraged her. She's outstanding, and Pastor Reed's been a member of the family, a friend of the family for a while. And he was telling me, you know, instruction on what to do tonight. He said, just go with the flow. He says, you can do it, you know, and I agreed to do it right away, and I'm just so glad I did. But, you know, he said, if you feel the spirit to bring a song out, he said, sing a song. He said, but just let them know your testimony, you know, the testimony of a blind man. You know, I don't know the words to say. It's just so awesome how awesome our God is. I do know that I was blind, but now I do see again. I see dimly. It's like it's like looking through fog sometimes. I was an avid reader. I could read it. Now that challenge is gone. It's a challenge for me to read. I can read a little bit on my phone from time to time, very little. But I've got a support system, a support team who really looks out for me, who helps me. God has surrounded me with friends and family, loved ones who make sure I am doing good all the time. And to God be the glory. You know, I encourage you not to give up. Whatever your disability may be, your infirmity may be, whatever your challenge may be, just trust God. God will take care of it. He'll see you through. I want to do just a little bit of this song because it's in my spirit to sing it. this particular ministry goes, and I don't want to cut it short, but, you know, the Lord put it on my heart, and obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, I am not an opera singer. I am not the greatest singer in the world. As a matter of fact, the Lord says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, the joyful noise might be singing. The joyful noise might be in percussion. It might be in stringed instruments. It might be in keyboard instruments. It might just be that somebody needs to holler and say hallelujah or thank you, Jesus, or to say, blessed be your name. But I must just sing a little bit of this particular song because it's in my spirit. And I hope that, you know, it'll encourage somebody to not give up and just to think about life. And the song is I Won't Complain. It says, or it sings, I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think life over, all of my good days outweigh my weary days, and I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low, and I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although the weary eyes can't see, so I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. You know, God's been good to us. He's been good to me. He's been there in my midnight hour. And God can be your midnight hour. God can be the one who sees you through. God can heal your broken heart. He can mend your marriage. He can do anything but fail. I thank God that he has opened my spiritual eyes, and he's brought me closer to him. I know that I've got a closer walk with him now. To God be the glory, to God be the honor, and God be the praise. I'd like to thank you all, and we've asked you all and encourage you all to stay focused and to stay tuned for Jeremiah Ministries' Fivefold Ministry coming up next. Jesus, you've been so good to us.
Good evening. We welcome you to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. God bless you again. You can hear us on the same radio station as well as on Sunday mornings. Again, you can hear us Monday through Friday as well as Sunday. We would like you to sit back and relax and just enjoy the worship as we praise our God and go into the inner courts. God bless you again. Amen. Yes. Thank you again for listening to us. Our theme this week is love. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13, and which is our love chapter. But let us listen to a song right now by the Commodores, that Jesus is love. Amen. To Jesus is love. God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. We thank all of you all over the world, every nation, city, and state. Thank you so much. And our Archbishop for tuning in tonight to our broadcast. As I said, our theme for this week is love. And you can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. As always, we always give our disclaimer as we play music that has been selected by various artists. The artists own rights to their own music. However, this is for promotional reason to encourage you to listen and for their sales. Truly, God has blessed them and used them to play such good music of Zion. We are so fortunate to join in and just hear those beautiful melodies. Also, if you would like to get in contact with us, our email address is F like 5, F like 4, M like Ministries, W like Worldwide .inc, I-N-C, at Verizon.net. Again, it's FFMW.inc, Verizon.net. And our P.O. Box is 9786, that's Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Again, that's P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. And we ask that you sit back and relax and just enjoy worshiping God. Let us listen to Canton Jones and Awesome. Amen. God, yes, we do. I tell you that God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for us, and his name is Jesus. We love the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, because if it was not for him, where would we be? You know, Jesus is our way maker. Jesus is our way out. And truly, with the love that he shed for us up on Calvary's cross, that blood was spilt for you and for me. You know why? As Cena would say, he is our way maker. Let us enjoy it. Amen.
Miracle workers, promise keepers.
the songwriter says that our God is here and that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Isn't it beautiful to be in the land of the living and just to know that our God is mighty, that we can put all our cares on him, that he loved us so much that he suffered, carried that cross. He bled from Calvary. He went through all of that for you and for I so that we could just touch the hem of his garment and say, God, that I need you now. I need a hug. I need you to lift me up. Take me through the storms, God. Hey, the good times and the bad times. So you are a mighty God. If God can't do it, it just cannot be done. You know, this is one thing I love about the song that Nathaniel Bassey sings with Chandler Moore, that they sung such a beautiful, beautiful song that our God is mighty. Let us enjoy it now. Amen.
Whoa, yeah, 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 yeah. You are mighty God. You are kind, you are more than me.
Hey.
Lost for words, trying to describe you. Elohim, Elion, Aleph, Elohim.
Yes, our God is so mighty. He said, if he said it, he will do it. He wants us to love each other the way that we want to be loved. Treat people the way that we want to be treated. We don't need to be able to just tear down, destroy, or undermine, or pull the carpet from anyone unless we point the finger at ourselves. We are not the author or finisher of nobody's faith, and we don't have the right to judge another human being. God said, try the spirit with the spirit. If they are in Christ, they are saved and have the Holy Spirit, you will know it. You know why? Because your God is a capable God. He don't need your help. He's the one that breathed breath into our body. He's the one that has made heaven and earth, heavens above and the earth below, that our God is a capable God. He want us to live in harmony. He want us to live in love and forgiveness. Oh, hallelujah. And he want us to obey those commandments. You know why? Because he is capable, and he don't need no help except for us to be good Christians. Amen. Let us listen to Judy Kay, and she sings Capable God. Amen.
Capable God, what can you do? Impossible with our God.
is capable. He does not lie. And what he said that he will do. Don't you know all those promises in the word of God belongs to you? Don't you know that he gave and shed his blood on Calvary for you? Don't you know that he will forgive you and wash you as white as snow again and again because your God loves you? You know he calls you his beloved. All we say is that take a chance and try our Jesus. Repent of your sin. Ask him to come into your heart. Fill you with that precious gift of that Holy Ghost. You know why? God is so great. If you could just feel his presence and the songs of Zion will touch your heart, as Steve Crown would sing, you are great. Let us enjoy that hymn right now. Amen. Love us so much, and he reminded us when he had his disciples and he inspired those to write his word, and especially as we look at 1 Corinthians 13, and it says here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'll say it again. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, you know charity is love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, if I don't have love, if I don't love people the way that God loves us, if I can't see beyond criticism, fault, looking for imperfection, words that can tear down and destroy, then it says that I have become nothing but a sounding brass, a tickling cymbal. God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to love others the way that he loved us. You know, that's that agape love. That's that long-lasting love. Hey, hallelujah, that's the love that you can depend on. Looking at verse number 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, here we go again, and have not charity, I am nothing. And the last verse that we're just going to examine tonight, it says here, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profit me nothing. You know, that's one way for eternal life that God said, that once we have accepted Christ and that we are new creatures in him, that we are to love unconditionally, love the way that we want to be loved, and the love that God can respect to say, you know, this is my disciple. They love unconditionally, and they are a help not only to other nations, but right there in the community and their family. That's that agape love, that suffering love, the love that can withstand all kinds of seasons. So I want to encourage you as you examine the word for yourself, 1 Corinthians 13, think about that love of God. Let us listen to Sina now, one of my favorite praise warriors, as we worship our God and get ready to close out our show. Amen. God loves us so much. He wants us to love each other and all nations around the world. Yes.
You've been so good to me. Faith or not, you are so good.
That we give God the praise, that we praise him when we show that we can be a reflection of him. Truly our God is mighty, truly that he loves us, and that he wants us to love each other unconditionally. Let us pray for our neighbors, keep China in prayer, and Russia, Ukraine, all of those countries that need that love right now, that need the favor, the praises, the mercy, and the kindness of God to intervene. But we know that our God can do anything but fail. We put it at the foot of the cross, and we take our prayers to him as Christ make intercession for us and sit on the right hand of the Father. Let us listen to eBay, that there is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Featuring Nathaniel Basie. God bless you. And remember, our theme this week is love. Amen and amen.
the God of everything, no one like you. No one like you, Jesus, no one like you.
You know there's no one like our God. He loved us even in the beginning of time. Hey, hallelujah, that he breathed breath into our body in the Garden of Eden, that he was right there when man fell up until this time here after we nailed Jesus on the cross, that he still loved us. We ask God for his mercy. We ask God for his kindness. We ask God that those, you know, people a lot of times say, you know, that I love the Lord. I'm not perfect. I do a lot of things. I said, but be godly, sorrow. We all fall short. We did not, you know, live in such a way that our parents was not pleased, or maybe they were. But what we need to do is recognize that we need the love, the mercy, and kindness of the Father, that only through that redemptive blood can we have salvation. Can he forgive us? You know, it's sad that those soldiers, killed Jesus on a cross. And we're so glad that he rose again for us to show us that he has the power over the grave, that he has the power through for eternal life. And if you will put your trust in him and put your faith in him, he can do anything but fail, because he is a great and wonderful Father. We love him. So as we close out with a quiet melody, remember now, this is 1 Corinthians 13, that God loves you. And we thank God again for those artists who were so graced by God to play those beautiful songs of Zion. And God bless you, and have a nice evening. And remember to listen to us tomorrow night. Amen. God bless you.